Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Nayan, your host for today's episode, and on this show we'll be covering the delay of the Batman 2, the first reactions to both Civil War and Fall Guy, Scarlett Johansson potentially being in Jurassic World 4, and Ari Aster's next film that he'll be directing. I'm joined here, as always, by James. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I saw Kung Fu Panda this morning at the Brisbane premiere. Fun, but too childish. Not like the same. How are you, man?
I'm good. Ish. Yeah. My team lost yesterday, but that's all good. But I'm still waiting for my invite for Kung Fu Panda, but based on what you've told me, it's approach with caution.
Yeah, don't look forward to it. But for some reason, it comes out in April for New Zealand, so that's tough.
We always get the short end of the stick. Anyway, we'll jump into this podcast now, so sit back, open up a cold one, and let's get into it. So, the Batman Part 2, directed by Matt Reeves and its stars Robert Pattinson, was supposed to come out in 2025. 2025 is already a stacked year, and now news has come out that it's been delayed from October 25 to a whole year, October 2026, sadly. The main reason for this is due to the script not being finished, due to the SAG-AFTRA strikes. So it's claimed another victim, and it makes 2025 a bit less stacked, so to speak. Mm. So James, what are your thoughts on this?
It was tough to read. It was just, I had a bad night before that, and then I woke up to that news, so it was a horrible, horrible week. And this played a crucial part in that. But it is a big film next year that has been delayed. The strikes claim another victim, as you say. The Batman Part 2 is one that I was really looking forward to, I don't know my most anticipated for next year. I got to seal the films all out together, but the Batman will be right in there for the number one spot for me. Definitely for you too. It is big. I think 2025 still remains heavily stacked and has loads of potential, but this is one of those big ones that we're going to change everything. But when you think about it in terms of DC, I get a little bit of sigh of relief. I'm like, okay, and then we can just kind of focus on Superman Legacy and starting James Gunn's DCU, his chapter one called Gods and Monsters. So it'll be good just to have that film being the only kind of DC focus for the year. And I think that's kind of what it needs. And, it's hard to complain about this because it's to make the script better and to take its time. And, that's a good thing. You don't want anything rushed. If we've learned anything from, Hollywood, any kind of production that's being rushed, just it doesn't end well at all. I'm heavily looking forward to it. So if it takes them another year to, polish it up and get it right and make it as good, if not better than the first one, I am 100% on board for that. You're a big Batman guy, as you can see in a little bit of your background there. how'd you react to this news?
Same as you. I think, I can't remember when I saw it. I don't think, it definitely wasn't the first thing in the morning. I think it must have been when I was on lunch break and I just opened up my phone and I saw it and I was like, nah, it's lying. It's fake. I was like, Googled it and it was true and I was like, fuck's sake, god damn it. I was so excited for that. It probably would have been my number one. Just because the first one was so fantastic and the first one was my number one. It's like, big Batman fan, it's pretty much a bias that I have to have it as number one.
Yeah, he has to have it, yeah.
Have to have it. But at least it's an easy number one for 2026. But yeah, so I was a bit sad on that, but it's good. It gives Matt Reeves time to, finish the script rather than being pressured by the studios to finish it and direct it and post-product it as well within a year and a half. So it's good. Mm-hmm. It gives him some more time and he can really flesh out that script of his and stuff like that. Completely on board with you in regards to your comments about how we can just focus on one DC film next year. Because the Batman was actually touted as an Elseworlds sort of storyline mm-hmm. where it's not connected to the major DCU.
Yeah.
So if Superman released and then the Batman released, people would be like, oh, cool, they're in the same universe. And
yeah,
everyone would be talking about that when actually it's not. But then we could have had our next Barbenheimer, you know, we could have had the proper Batman versus Superman. Oh of 2025.
Only if they release on the same weekend, which would be an insane move for them to do.
There's an idea. Do it.
Do not do that. My thing, though, is when will Batman and the Bold and the Brave... What's it called? Brave and the Bold?
Brave and the Bold, yeah.
Brave and the Bold, yeah. Batman and the Bold. when... Because I would imagine that would be like one of the next kind of big movies in this new DCU era. And... So my obviously prediction would be 2026. I guess it's because you can't have two Batman movies come out in 2026, right? That's
that'd be very confusing. I think James Gunn is smarter than that. He'll probably do 27 or 28. He still needs to write the script. He said that the script hasn't been written yet, and he still needs to cast.
So, really, does he still need to write? I mean, is he writing it, or does it just need to be done in general?
Just needs to be done in general. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
So. Yeah, there's still a lot of work to do on that, and plus they're going to cast the new Batman and along with Robin as well.
It is a little bit odd that the whole kind of slate was announced, but we've only been getting Superman updates. And I guess a little bit of Supergirl. I imagine Supergirl will be the next film or the next, like I guess, major project coming for this DCU. There's just nothing else being done.
That could be 2026. I could see that coming out 2026. And then probably Batman 27 or 28. You still got the little TV shows, or I think it's TV shows or whatever, the animated ones and Creature Commandos coming out as well. We've got castings for that as well. So
yeah, that's one thing I don't like about this slate is the fact that it's mixed in with a bunch of weird TV shows. And I'm not a big fan of TV shows being in like playing a major role in a cinematic universe. You know, we've seen it do like real damage to the MCU. So it's just harder for people to follow along. Just, I think major movies, one after the other, is the best way to do cinematic universes. And having them animated, like, who's going to watch that? How necessary is it for us to watch it, you know, that stuff? And then you got like Waller coming out. But yeah, in terms of films, Swamp Thing's meant to be a film.
Yep.
Correct? Yeah. Supergirl, Brave and the Bold. What else?
I think it's those four off the top of my head. Superman,
Booster Gold.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. To be fair, he announced a slate, and then he announced more films because of popularity of characters.
Yeah.
Like Waller is DCEU, and he's bringing that in. We've got Peacemaker 2, where Peacemaker 2 is canon to this, but Peacemaker 1 is not.
Yeah, it's a little bit messy. I hope that he can, when we start getting into the DCU, that it is actually clear cut and there's like certain rules and everyone who like watch DCU can just follow along with this one without asking all those questions. It's one thing that's, I think, really irritating so far. But we need to hear more about the DCU. But I mean, going back to the Batman part two, man, like, yeah, I think it's a huge hit on 2025, since you know we were really starting to like get some excitement for next year for this movie slate coming up, and like you know the like comic book movies coming from that, Fantastic Four as well. There's more, but not on top of my head. So it was going to be a really great year, but still is. It's just now we got some extra juice for 2026.
Yeah, I guess it's also a blessing because I always said how stacked it is. Like, are we going to have time to breathe? Well, looks like we can hold our breath until October and breathe in October.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it usually goes. Like, I mean, it's just good that, yeah, it's a little bit more fleshed out throughout these years because this year's really thin, as we discussed. But, I mean, like, the movies coming in 2026, there's not much that's really, like, big. You know, there's stuff like Toy Story 5, the Avengers movie is meant to come out. I don't think that's going to happen.
Kang Dynasty when they fired their Kang.
Yeah, it's no longer Kang Dynasty either, so what are they doing? What's the other one? The other big movie that comes out? Paw Patrol 3, that one comes. We got to be ready for that.
That's going to be hype.
That's going to be hype.
Best trilogy of all time. Sorry, Batman.
But I mean, yeah, tough news.
Yeah, tough news, but hopefully it's all for the best at the end of the day.
I definitely think it will be, man. It's Matt Reeves.
That's right, Matt Reeves we trust.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. So we've had reactions come out to Fall Guy. Now, this is a film me and James on our podcast publicly trashed because of how shit the first trailer was. And it turns out that is a fantastic film. Currently, it's at 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's directed by David Leitch and also stars Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. There's a lot of praise between Blunt's and Gosling's chemistry, saying it's just so natural and stuff like that, which doesn't quite surprise me. There's been a few reactions that said it's a love letter to the film industry's stunt community, which is nice. It's sort of a side of the film industry we don't really hear that much of. Mm-hmm. And other ones have been saying it's really, really funny, full of action, and the romance feels natural. So James, does mm-hmm. this change your excitement in any way, or are you still deadpan set on trash?
No, man. See, I am self-aware enough to see these results and critic reviews come in and be like, okay, I'm actually excited for it now. I'm not going to hold my ground in terms of my own opinion here, but boy, that first trailer. I mean, like, I'd watched that first trailer. I haven't seen anything else, just that first trailer. And I watched it with you and Kyan for the first time. And I was watching it. And I've been excited for this movie because I like the director and, you know, the two leads of Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt. I liked them and I liked the concept of the movie. So I'd heard all about that. And so I was looking forward to the trailer. And then watching the trailer, my excitement visibly became massive disappointment. It looked unfunny. It looked like a kind of a cool concept that didn't look like it was going to be done any justice at all. And it just kind of looked like, you know, Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling had, you know, taken the money bag and just gone into a role that would have been easy to do and stuff. But yeah, and then I heard it was debuting at the film festival where it debuted, and I'm like, maybe there's something special in this movie, but I was never gonna, because that trailer just set like such a sour taste in my mouth. Yeah, man, it was it was like a hard trailer to watch almost. I think it didn't come on my least anticipated, but it was damn near close. But yeah, no, these are massively surprising. I am actually quite excited now because I love what, Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling are as actors. I think they do such great jobs in their roles. They have a ton of chemistry, so I hope that translates to the screen, as we're hearing a lot about as well. And you are right with the stunt community. It does not get much attention or focus or even, you know, love or recognition. Something that's been, you know, touted about in terms of awards and categories recently. So it's nice to get that kind of side of Hollywood under the spotlight for a little bit. And the fact that it's genuinely funny, it might be the biggest surprise of them all, because it looked genuinely unfunny. It looked really bad. And like, that's my own personal opinion there. The romance didn't look like there was going to be much. So this is a major, major surprise, but I'm very happy. I love when I'm proven wrong, when I'm not looking forward to movies. It's always something that's like really nice and it just shocks you, but you're never really like mad about it. Like, damn, I was wrong. That was going to be, I thought that was going to be bad, but I was wrong. I'm not even mad. I'm just happy that it is actually very good. And the fact that, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes score and the average score for it is actually really high. It's like much higher than like I would ever predicted. You know, you think like maybe 75, but high 80s, man. That's
big. When it first came out, I think you mentioned that the average rating was like around about the 8 point something region.
That's 8.2, yeah.
When it first came out. It could have changed now. It's been a couple of days since.
Yeah. It's 7.9, which is still like really high. I think you're going to get a really good movie. I'm not talking like it's going to be like an Oscar contender this, but I think it's going to be one of those movies that are just, you know, really good and really heartwarming in some kind of way. I don't know if you've seen, is it, and Ryan Gosling's in it, The Nice Guys? Is it?
Oh, yeah, I love that film with Russell
Crowe. Yeah, 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 yeah. I feel like it'll have some kind of like similar vibes to that. You know, just a good classic comedy movie with a bit of like rom-com side to it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Unfortunately for me, I had it in my least. It was my fifth least.
Oh, it was you that had it. Yeah, yeah. I remember somebody did. Yeah.
It was me that had it, so I think I'll be eating my words now. But
don't trust this man when it comes to most anticipated, least anticipated. It's just... Oh.
Hey, sometimes I strike and sometimes I absolutely don't.
The track record is not good.
I just like to be the wild card, you know? Just, you know, if everyone's just so, like, generic and basic, I'm just there with my fucking wacky on wild shit. That was like, what are you smoking?
Yeah. Well, I need to go into your least anticipated for this year and then just start getting excited for them because I know they're going to be good. I forgot what your other ones were, but I'm going to go after this. I'm going to go and find them.
Okay, it's so like, get excited for Madam Web when you watch it. Get excited for Garfield when you watch it.
Madam Web. I haven't even seen that yet. And I don't think I even will ever see it.
I think I'm going to watch it for the meme, similar to what I did with Morbius.
Like I still haven't watched Morbius yet.
Yeah, I just watch it for the meme. Like, background, if you're having a bad day, you just want to laugh, chuck it on.
Chuck it on. Yeah, I mean, Sony has a deal with Netflix, so it'll be on Netflix soon enough. It made no money. It's awful.
Might absolutely as well get some tragic views somewhere.
But Garfield now. Garfield has real potential.
It does. and you're a big advocate for not liking Garfield, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you hated it more than me. Yeah. So, hey, Chris Pratt could come in
strike
with
again.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Fall Guy. Yes, I'll have to eat my words for it. I am glad that it's became successful because we mentioned that it is such a cool concept and it's showcases a whole new aspect of the film industry that we barely see, if ever. So it's good. I'm not surprised by the chemistry. I mean, Ryan Gosling's track record with his co-stars is fantastic. I mean, you just have to look at, you know, Barbie, Drive, The Nice Guys with him and Russell Crowe as well. It's just all fantastic. So it's good to see that they have that. And if anything is to go by, just look at their chemistry when they did that announcement at the Oscars. Like, the banter was just back and forth. Might have been scripted, but the delivery was still great.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. I like it how it's, because usually it's either comedy, action, or romance. But it's nice to see that we have these three elements, like, nicely balanced. Where one's just not dominating the other, and then the other two is just crap.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that this film balances all those aspects quite nicely. So I'm actually looking forward to it now when it comes out.
Yeah, and I'm honestly glad that the romance is in there because it's been touted as a rom-com. I'm like, dude, is the rom-com back? Remember we went on an absolute rant after Anyone But You during that review, being like, the rom-com needs to come back because, you know, they've absolutely killed it, and it's just fun to have this kind of, you know, what we call as a palate cleanser, just something you can just sit back and just kind of, you know, enjoy without, like, overanalyzing it. And, yeah, this one, it's a rom-com at its heart, so I'm glad we're getting a little bit of, you know, that romantic comedy side coming to more movies. It's well needed and well overdue.
There you go, back-to-back examples of if you do a rom-com right, it'll be successful.
Yeah, well, Anyone But You did really well at the box office, I believe.
Yeah. I think it started off slow and then it
kept carrying on. Yeah, made like over 200 million worldwide for a 25 million budget of film. So,
yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Get ready for Anyone But You 2.
No. Stop that.
All right, so Fall Guy is not the only film that had reactions to it. We also got reactions to Civil War. It's Alex Garland's next film, and it stars Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, and Wagner Moura. There has been a whole lot of praise on this film. They've gone on to say it's a modern-day masterpiece with flawless cinematography. It's gripping from start to finish. It's haunting, thought-provoking, and there has been a huge amount of praise on Kirsten Dunst for her performance in this film. So, James, I know I had it at number 8 on my most anticipated. I can't remember where you had it. You might be able to remember, but I also know that you're excited for this film as well. Does this just make you even more excited?
100%. Now, it gives me some reassurance about being excited for it. You know, that's also one of the best feelings is when you're super excited for something and then the reviews come out and you're like, fuck yes, now I can be even more excited for it and know I'm going to get something good. This is exactly what I'm having with Civil War. I can't remember my list. I didn't even know where my list is, man. Like, I don't know where I put it. I'm probably just going to have to like listen to our podcast again and then try and remember and get it that way. But I think I had it around the 6 to 8, or probably around that, but it was definitely on the list, and I'm glad that I put it there because, yeah, it sounds like a potential masterpiece. Now, it did debut with, it's in the 80s, I believe. The reviews, yeah. I've seen it, it's like 88%, 8.3 average rating, but it varies massively. Like, these reactions, you know, you're seeing someone saying, like, yeah, masterpiece, flawless cinematography, those are very big words. And, you know, it's at 8.3 out of 10 average rating now, but when the reviews first came, it was 8.8. So it seems like there's very big fluctuations in terms of how much people are enjoying this, but the overall result seems very, very positive. And that's the most surprising part for me, is that it's mostly on the really good side of things, because this is a movie that is, or appears to be, highly political. You know, you got kind of red versus blue. What would it be? Republicans versus Democrats, and left wing versus white right wing, which is a very, I guess, a personal thing to a lot of people, and especially in America, there's a lot of passion behind that. So, you know, you would think that it may sway certain critics if they feel very, if they're very passionate about their politics, and the film feels like it's coming from a certain point of view, whether it's coming from like a left wing or right wing point of view, that it might actually turn a critic off from actually enjoying the film and letting that kind of bias come to the forefront of their entire review. So the fact that it seems to not take a kind of political stance, I think is going to be good for it. And it's just, yeah, it sounds exactly what we're getting from the trailer, except perhaps even better, you know, haunting and thought-provoking, you know. The fact that it's almost similar to what we had in Oppenheimer, where, you know, it's about, you know, nuclear warfare and the potential that can be an absolute reality for our world right now. The fact that Civil War feels like that it can be a reality for America is scary, and I hope that this movie actually kind of lets us into that light a little bit, and just to see what or how that would go down. But the other things I've heard about this movie, man, is that the technical side of it, just amazing, like really intense. It gets you just like it's just an absolute thrill ride from start to finish. And I love those movies, you know, when you just get like hooked and sunken really fast. Yeah. And it's stressful for like the entire time. And then the credits roll, you're like, oh my God. And you just need like a little bit of a moment to breathe and like catch up with your breath and like, whew, that was a movie.
Yeah, the last film that I recall that happened to me was when I watched Silence of the Lambs, a couple years ago. Like, I was just hooked. I was sweating. I was watching it here in my room.
Yeah.
And I was just sweating. And then by the time they ended, I was like, the hell? I like got up, walked downstairs, came back up and messaged James. I was like, holy shit. Good recommendation.
Oh no, that movie's a great movie. But yeah, I'm highly looking forward to this. It's, yeah, I can't wait for this. I actually don't know when. I think it comes out in April, fairly soon too. So the fact that I don't have to wait 7 months or till 2027 for an Australian or New Zealand release date is a really good thing.
In New Zealand, so I might have to wait those 7 months.
How pumped are you for this movie now?
Oh, I'm absolutely pumped. I mean, when we watched that first trailer to you, we both like heaped a lot of praise on it. I'm really excited for it. It's on my top most anticipated for a reason. All these comments about how it's haunting, it's intense, it's thrilling. You could get that from the trailer, you know, that one scene with Jesse Plemons' character. He's in it as well, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the guys says, "I'm American," and Jesse Plemons just says, "What kind of American?" And it's just silence. Like, they cut the music and stuff. Like,
it's so good. Yeah.
Like, from pretty much that scene in the trailer alone, you could see what direction this film was going to go, And oh, it makes me excited because it's been a long, long time since we had one of these in cinemas where a thriller like absolutely captivates you and has you pulled in full focus. So I'm really looking forward to this experience with my heart trying to get out of my chest, sweating and whatnot. So I'm really excited by this. And the fact that Kirsten Dunst is getting a lot of praise as well. We know that she's a fantastic actress, but we haven't seen her recently, or she has done stuff. It's been a very, very small minor films. So it's good to see this film sort of bring her back on the map, you know? And I hope she does deliver an Oscar-worthy performance. I mean, the fact that it releases so early is a bit of a disadvantage for her, but I guess we'll have to wait and see for that for sure.
I think it will be a disadvantage when it comes to Oscars, but we've seen this plenty of times, movies releasing and dropping at the film festival specifically. Carry on that momentum all the way through to Oscars. Tough, but doable, for sure.
Guess we'll have to wait and see with this one, but I can't wait. You can't wait. The world can't wait. Go see it.
I mean, I just looked up the release date, and it's 11th of April, man. So I don't have to wait long at all. It's right around the corner. So I'm pumped, man. I'm ready to go. Yeah,
That's good. Hopefully it's the same for me too.
June?
I'll have to... No. We'll just be like be James, like hyping it up for like 2 months, and me just being like, shut up, man. We'll move on to some dinosaur news, which is Jurassic World 4, which apparently is a thing now, considering Jurassic World Dominion was supposed to be the end of the franchise. But it's all good. I'm not complaining. I like dinosaurs and I like Jurassic Park, so I won't complain. So right now, there's been very minimal information on this. All we know is the director, Gareth Edwards, and the writer, David Keogh.
One of those two.
Yeah, he is the first writer for... Well, he was the original writer for Jurassic Park 1 and Jurassic Park 2 as well. And then he left, and now he's coming back. But the big news in regards to this is that they have approached Scarlett Johansson and offered her the... not just a role, but the lead role in this film. So, James, what do you think about this news that they are offering her the lead role in this film?
I'm very conflicted with this movie for a bunch of reasons, and this would only add to that confliction because, you know, the Jurassic World, the first one was great, super entertaining, a great, you know, big screen experience, but the other two after that were just... almost abominations. It's just really terrible. I've watched them once for a reason, never approached them again, but I've seen the first one a few times because I think it's just a ton of fun. My faith in this franchise is not high at all, but you know, Gareth Edwards to direct and David Keogh who wrote the first one is very intriguing to me. Gareth Edwards he did The Creator most recently.
And Godzilla 2014.
Yeah, and I think he did Rogue One as well. And I really dislike Rogue One. But what did Rogue One do well? It captured, you know, the scale and the beauty of this other side of Star Wars that we'd never seen before. Godzilla, man, has one of the best sequences in a blockbuster with Godzilla, and that's the parachuting down and the flashing strobe effect, just seeing this giant like monster, and it's done so well. He really puts you in the shoes of the human characters and shows you how grand and magnificent, you know, other things are. We saw that in The Creator as well, with that giant spaceship with the beam thing as well. He just knows how to really capture scale. And what does Jurassic Park need the most? It needs to be able to capture scale. It needs to be able to show these dinosaurs as being terrifying. I think that's what works so well in the first Jurassic Park, is that it's super intense. Like you're really terrified for the characters, just because of how terrifying they are. But then you move to Jurassic World 3, and like some little bug is like the most scary thing on it. And it's triggering to Nan, but triggering to me as well, because I just don't like those movies. But I think Gareth Edwards is the right choice. He can capture it on a visual level. And David Keogh can help keep the characters, you know, developed and get them like to be a little bit more complex and not just bland. Now, the fact that I have no faith in Jurassic World or the franchise in general right now, but you got those two to do it, I'm conflicted whether to be excited or not. I'm just in the middle. You add Scarlett Johansson as the lead role, and if she accepts and takes it, I'm going to be excited, man. I don't know if it'll be in my top 10 most anticipated, but hey, there's a spot vacant. The Batman just left it. So I don't know. Maybe Jurassic World takes it, because Scarlett Johansson is an absolutely awesome action star, and she can really ground herself in the role, and just she's just really good at being, I mean, I don't know how to really phrase it, but just getting in amongst the action and being a really compelling person amongst that. Bryce Dallas Howard is kind of that person in the first three movies, and she did a really good job as well. So I think Scarlett Johansson is better at it and will just be far more compelling and is a better actress, despite the fact that I do love Bryce Dallas Howard a lot. So, you know, we've seen the movies that Scarlett Johansson does. She's done some stuff that is questionable, but a lot of her stuff that she chooses is really, really good. Whether it's, you know, great franchises like the MCU or little stuff like Marriage Story, where she's just absolutely flawless in it. So the fact that she's picky, the fact that she probably could get any movie role or nearly any movie role that she wanted because she's so highly regarded, it would give me a lot of faith in this movie. I would start getting quite pumped for it. But you are more of the Jurassic Park fan than me. I really want to know where you would kind of, if you would be excited for it, because I know those last couple of Jurassic World movies did really let you down. So where would you fit in if she was to sign on?
More than let me down, it destroyed me. Especially the last one, because I was so excited because, you know, the original cast was coming, the core cast, and then the big bad was not the Giga whatever Saurus, it was Lucas's. Like, I would never get over that. Like, that is just the dumbest fucking plot idea ever.
Awful.
But I think the reason why this film is existing is to right those wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least in my mind, that's what I'm trying to justify it as. Gareth Edwards, I really liked him in Godzilla. I think he did a fantastic job capturing the scale of Godzilla. And as you mentioned, that halo jump scene was pretty much flawless.
So good.
David Keogh as well. He wrote the first two, Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2, Lost World. Jurassic Park is obviously the best one, but Lost World, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as good, but it wasn't that bad. So it does restore faith that they're trying to probably get back to the roots of Jurassic Park, which is dinosaur versus man, or in this case, versus woman. Because if she does accept this role, this is the first film where a female actress is a lead in a Jurassic film, which is awesome. And Scarlett Johansson is a fantastic actress, as you said. She can capture or act fear so well. We saw that in Avengers when Hulk was, you know, going off his nuts. And she was just there, like, scared, trying to hide. So she could just do that. And that was back in 2012. She's probably developed a lot more skills over the past 12 years. So,
Especially her emotional acting, man. Really good stuff.
Definitely. I think Marriage Story is where we first saw her, like, cement herself on the emotional side. So I think if she accepts, I will be excited. I will sort of have that little bit of a doubt in my mind. But just like the last Jurassic World, it will feature on my most anticipated somewhere.
No, don't do this to us. We could actually get a good movie here. Don't do it.
I'll purposely keep it off just for that sake.
Oh, no, don't do that. But yeah, I would be cautiously optimistic. I'd have to see a full trailer The fact that, you know, we're midway through March. This movie's meant to come out in July next year. I mean, they don't even have an actor yet on this movie. So time is against them. I don't know if it can actually make that release date. I would be very shocked if it actually does get the 2025 release date, because I could imagine the post-production would be very intensive with this kind of movie.
Yeah. I think if they land her, then we'll see quick news after that. Because I think they have a plan in their script where they want a female to be the lead. So mm-hmm. I feel that they've done some behind the scenes sort of casting or like putting out feelers for the supporting roles. They're just trying to get their lead, and as soon as the lead comes, boom, everything else will be announced and straight into production. But I do agree with you. This should be at the very latest an early 2026 release for sure.
Yeah, it really depends on how big of a what the scale will be like in this movie. If it's going to start a new kind of trilogy, would you prefer it to be kind of minimalistic, you know, have minimal dinosaurs, but have them kind of be felt like their presence? I guess Jurassic Park is not as dinosaur heavy as, you know, Jurassic World per se. So would you want them to go kind of all out with, you know, dinosaurs, or just kind of hold back a bit and just have kind of like a focus more on the atmosphere and stuff like that? Do you know what I mean?
Probably less is more. We got so much in those last three films. They went out of their way to create new dinosaurs. They have to scrap that.
Yeah.
Like, don't genetically modify one to be bigger, scarier, with bigger teeth for the kids. No, you just shut the fuck up. No.
They always just, do that.
Just make it dinosaurs. That's scary enough as it is. Like, it's a no-brainer. If you walk 100%. If you walk down the street and you see one, you'll be shitting your pants. No matter the size of it, and no matter if it's a herbivore or carnivore, you'll be like, oh shit, what the hell?
I know.
I think if it captures on that one predator as the villain and focus on that, they'll be able to make it really good, but still have those small, like, you know, heartful moments like in Jurassic Park with the herbivore type of animals, like the Triceratops and the Brachiosaurus, where they're feeding it. I think if you just focus on three, or have three scenes with those big dinosaurs, it'll just mean so much more than trying to cram everything and anything into it. And I'll probably have to say this, it might be a bit controversial, but stay away from raptors. Raptors had six films. Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone. We need something else.
Yeah. Get a new little sidekick, you know? Just anyone from... Oh, yeah, and they fly it.
Yeah. They would just ride it.
No, we cannot put this into the universe because they're going to do it.
No, they won't. I really don't know where they can go with it, but it should be interesting. Hopefully it's good. We need a good Jurassic movie.
Well, we have one, but yes.
No, like a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see. If you guys think Scarlett Johansson will be a great addition to the Jurassic World franchise or Jurassic Park franchise, be sure to let us know in the comments below and like and subscribe while you're at it, because you're already down there. So thank you. On to the next topic. He's directed Hereditary, Midsommar, and most recently, Beau is Afraid. Horror director Ari Aster has announced his new film. It's called Eddington. It is a horror film with dark humor in it.
Horror.
Hey, they look the same. The cast here is quite stacked. Like, there's no denying it. We've got Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Austin Butler, Pedro Pascal. And that's just some of them. There's a whole lot more that I just can't list them all here because we'll be here all day. So the concept for this is it's a contemporary Western following a New Mexico sheriff with high aspirations. That's it. That's all we know about it. That pretty much sentence. It's obviously the studio is A24, like majority or all of Ari Aster's films. So James, could you get on board with Eddington?
100%, man. I mean, the cast alone, Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Austin Butler, Pedro Pascal, I love every single one of them, but for very different reasons. Like, and I'm really curious to see how this kind of cast would gel together and how they would work. I mean, Emma Stone is just off the back of an Oscar win, so anything she's in, I'm completely excited for. As for Ari Aster himself, I like him a lot as a director, but there's somewhat of a disconnect between what the films he makes and, like, I guess my own personal preferences. What he usually makes and what I've seen from him is stuff that I really appreciate. And yeah, it's stuff that I really appreciate, and you can see the kind of craftsmanship behind it. But none of his films have, like, come, or like, I've never watched them and been like, I love that movie. it's always just, there's always been that little bit of a disconnect there between his style and like my own preferences. So we'll see what he does, but he does seem to be sticking with a style that is just, he's sticking with the same style, the same genre. It always seems like the same thing with this guy, just under different kind of concepts. But I mean, dark humor and horror mixing together, I'm on board for that. Sounds like something a little bit different. I could get behind it. And, you know, it's a contemporary Western film. And, I mean, I'm on board for it, man. I'm excited for it. I just don't know, like, the level of excitement I can get, because there's always that kind of hesitation I have with Ari Aster's films, where it's like, I know it's going to be good, but am I going to love it? That's always the question that I have.
Yeah, you know? Like, he makes really good films, but it's an acquired taste. Like, Me with May, December, you can appreciate the filmmaking, but it's just not for you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's just, and there's nothing wrong, I think, with saying or admitting that you can appreciate a film a lot, but not like it that much. It's a perfectly fine thing to do, and it's probably the most objective way to say you don't like a movie that's like that's like well made and everyone else is loving. Like, it's just sometimes the movie just isn't for you in terms of personal preferences. And yeah, Ari Aster usually crosses that line for me. Yeah, because I haven't seen Beau's Afraid, but I have seen Midsommar, and I couldn't really come out of the movie saying I loved it. It looked good, it kept me hooked, but it's not a movie that lingers with me. Hereditary is the same. I really liked it, but yeah, I'm still waiting for that Aster movie that's gonna really really stick with me, because he's got it in him for sure. He's a good filmmaker.
Yeah, so the only film I've seen of him is Midsommar. And that was when I was first being introduced to these sort of indie weird sort of films. So when I first watched that,
because we were at the film festival for that one, eh?
We were at ASB Theatre, or whatever called now, at the Waterfront.
Waterfront.
But yeah, when I watched it, I came out of it and I was like, I know it's a good film. Like, I just know it, but I hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I know Florence Pugh is good enough. The cinematography is probably the best thing about that entire film. Like, it is absolutely fantastic. But it was just too out the gate for me that I didn't like. I haven't seen Hereditary. It is on my list and I do want to see it quite a lot. It's good. I do know that Bro is afraid it is not a horror. I don't know what genre it is, so he has sort of taken a break last year from it, so he's clearly going back to his roots. But pretty much like you said, you can't get excited, well, you can't not get excited over this cast. This cast is essentially A-list right there. Austin Butler's up and coming, you know, he was in Dune, and by far he stole the show in Dune. Like, he was a fantastic performance. Pedro Pascal, he's on the rise. Emma Stone just won another Oscar. She is just in her prime, and Joaquin Phoenix is just safe as money. You know, you just know you're going to get a good performance from him.
Yeah, 100%.
And the fact that it's set in a Western, where we haven't seen, or Westerns are like basically extinct nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to, I feel this film will breathe in a new life to that genre.
Right.
Like, it's going to put the showcase back on Westerns and everyone will fall in love with it. I'm sure as more details come out and more promotional images and potentially a trailer or even a release date, we can start getting better thoughts and seeing where this film is going to head towards. But until then, I think this is just one to keep an eye on for now.
Yeah.
And definitely get excited. Definitely get excited over that cast. Like,
is there any details on release date or any indication?
No, not from what I could see. I just know that it's his next one.
So I would imagine this is a next year movie, just based on the way how independent films kind of come. Yeah, and the way he kind of works, yeah.
Yeah, especially considering he's got the title, cast, and plot. Like, you'd feel it'd be fairly soon, 2025 at the latest.
And shorter shoots, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
if that gets into 2025, man, the year keeps getting better and better.
It's just trying to replace the Batman at this point.
Not doing a good job. Come on, we need something better than that.
No, Yes, yes, yes it does. But that is going to do us on Elliot's B-Roll podcast for today. Hope you've all enjoyed this podcast, wherever you've been listening from and watching from. If you liked our tangents, be sure to head on down to the comments and let us know what your thoughts of our unfilteredness, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And be sure to hit that like and subscribe, because you're already down there typing. Might as well just do two clicks. Do us a favor. Cool. We'll catch you on the next one. Probably next week. Thursday for us. Wednesday for Northern Hemisphere people. We're Movie Games. We'll catch you later. See you later.
Peace.